I want to talk about Trump presidency and what it may mean for Muslims in Australia, in the US, and around the world. Now, some of Trump's very hardline policies about Muslims in and out of the US, well, let's be honest, it helped secure his spot as America's next president. During the campaign, Trump promised things like a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the US, even raised the possibility of a database being kept on Muslim Americans. But with Trump elected last week as the incoming 45th president of the United States, will his campaign promises come to fruition? Will they actually come about affecting more than 3 million Muslims in the US? Can that possibly be a reality? And what will Trump's explicit actions targeting American Muslims mean for the Muslim community in Australia and abroad? Well, to find out a bit more, we're joined by Mehmet Ozap. He's director of the Center for Islamic Studies and Civilization at Charles Sturt University. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, was Trump's win a surprise, do you think, for Muslim Americans and Muslims around the world? I mean, he'd been seen as a bit of a joke candidate for a while.
It certainly was. It was more than a surprise, actually. It's a bit of a shock to Muslims in Australia and around the world. They didn't expect it or they didn't want it. I think we were all thinking that, it cannot happen. Trump will never win. And perhaps it was in our blind spot that his presidency was coming along the way. So Muslims are really, I think they're going through a traumatic experience at the moment.
Look, it was a very interesting one because he certainly jumped around on his policies. He didn't seem to have a very consistent message many, many times. Do you think that a Trump presidency will have a very deleterious impact for Muslims living in the US, or do you think that moderation will reign at the end?
I think there are reasons that he could be moderate, and we are seeing signs of that. Well, he will certainly not be a moderate president in a sense, but what he said during the campaign will be reduced. Now that he won the election, he can relax. And also, he will be, in a way, in the next 3 months, educated by all these seasoned state officials. Let's face it, you know, Trump is a political novice. He has no clue on how to run a government, but he will be running a government. So he has to learn very quickly, and he will go through endless information sessions and PowerPoints. That will have an educational effect on him. And he will also meet a lot of people around the world, but also in the U.S. as well, who will have different ideas, not just all the people on his camp. So I think those will have a moderating effect on his presidency, but still there are reasons to be worried about.
Look, thinking closer to home, do you think that such powerful anti-Muslim rhetoric from someone like Donald Trump has emboldened, shall we say, local politicians in Australia with similar viewpoints?
I think that let's imagine for a moment that Pauline Hanson became the Prime Minister Australia. That's exactly what has happened in the US. I'm not saying that they're exactly the same, but they were saying the same things or similar things. So it's a really serious issue for Muslims. Muslims suffer from Islamophobia, discrimination to some extent, and when you have a politician who's openly Islamophobic, that's a reason to worry about, because what politicians say and do impacts our lives. And in the case of Trump becoming openly anti-Muslim, we can expect some sort of a backlash on Muslims.
So staying closer to home, I mean, what can we do to combat that? What can the individual do to show their support for the Australian Muslim community?
I think there is a close link between radicalization and Islamophobia. They feed one another. When there are actually two radical elements at the opposite polar ends. So education is the key, being informed, so that we don't get sucked into these Islamophobic extreme explanations of Muslims and Islam. Anything extreme explanation, chances are it's not true or it's a concoction of the truth. So education is the key. The second one is, I believe, is we need to build relationships that are important across the ethnic and religious divide that we have in Australia. I think Australia is in a pretty good shape compared to many other societies with its last 40 years of emphasis on multiculturalism. We cannot let it fail into these extreme ideas disseminating through our politicians.
So keep dialogues open, keep conversations open, and make sure that there's an understanding between all the groups. That would be your advice?
I think so. I think we need to make sure people are informed. But at the same time, people should actively reject these extreme ideas of discrimination, you know, profiling people, having a database. Come on, in which century we are living, you know, profiling people this way? Chances, in Australia, we have 600,000 Muslims. Yes, there is a radicalization issue. I know that. Everybody knows that. But that can be contained through measures, and we need the community's help. Without the Muslim community's help, we cannot defeat radicalization. So why ostracize the whole community?
Some very good points, Mehmet. Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you for having me.